for the church I'm a pastor of now did not exist at that time. And so it's just been fun to be a part of and through. Has anyone got handouts yet? I'm literally stalling for you to get handouts. Another question that something you actually want to know. I can tell you things you don't want to know. I got a whole bunch of those facts. Last one. Favorite fruit? You have to go with banana. Yeah. Yes. Now, I will work this in somehow with God's word. Has everyone got a handout now? Okay. Now hopefully it'll be useful. What? Oh, seriously? Okay. I heard another question. Where am I from? I grew up in the major metropolis of Cambridge, Wisconsin. Anybody know where Cambridge is? It's not far from here. Yeah. When I grew up, the population was 763. And then this next census, it went all the way up to 800 and something. I've lost that number. And then it went up to 900 and something else. And now it's all the way up to 1101. It's booming. That's why I left. It got too big for me. I used to have my picture on all the high school walls. No, just some of them. I was very active. I had some school records in running. And they're all gone. And I sang. And, you know, that we then would go to Florida and stuff like that. And those pics, they're all gone. Nobody knows I exist anymore in Cambridge. It's really sad. Thanks for bringing that up. No, that's not true. Actually, my church I grew up in, that really introduced me to God's Word. Good segue, huh? They're still big supporters of me, and it's really fun to connect with them. So since we're talking about God's word, and I think everyone has a handout now, yes. I didn't grow up going to a Christian home, and then my sister and I started going to Sunday school before my parents were going to church because my parents bought a house right next door to the church, and they invited us to church, and we couldn't pretend you weren't home. I don't know if you ever didn't want to go to Sunday school when you were a kid. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. But we would pretend. But you can't do that. The car's in the driveway. They don't even have to drive to come pick you up. They just walk over across the yard and knock on the door. So my sister and I started going to Sunday school. And in fourth grade, I remember the first scripture I memorized was Psalm 23. I could probably still tell you most of that now, but don't test me. All right, so do you know what the two greatest commandments, when Jesus was asked that question, what he said were the two greatest commandments? Love God, that's the first one. And love your neighbors yourself. Right. So when we're talking about God's word tonight, I want you to notice this thing about God's word. It guides us actually in obeying both of those commands. To love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be able to do that, we need to know God. And the best and primary way to get to know God is through how he revealed himself to us through his word. Romans 1 talks about we can know God through his creation, and that's a good way, but that's called general revelation. And so we kind of know generally about God, but if you want specific revelation, that's in God's word. So that's the first part. And the second part, to love your neighbor as yourself, God's word is just, if you want, sometimes I call this the best book ever written on relationships. If you want to know, if you want marriage counseling, if you want roommate counseling, if you want to know how to get along better with your siblings, it's all here. And then there's all been like a million books written, but they're all based off of this, or they're not any good, and don't read them. So there's some good motivation there. Jesus said those are the two greatest commandments, and everything's summed up in there. And if we want to excel in those, then we can find that here in God's word. So why is it important? Well, to learn more about God, to love him. Now, why can't we just take, Noah's smart guy, just when he talks, or when you go to awesome church like Living Word, and just take what the pastor says, and why can't you just accept that? That's a real question, too. I mean, they went to school, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And people can lie. And the other thing is, sometimes, I mean, there's like wicked people out there, but sometimes they're just, I don't know, I don't want to even say wrong, but just like, this is, God's word is truth, but we're all human. And so even, I mean, I like to think that I really try to be accurate, but the reality is that sometimes you just make mistakes. Sometimes you say something wrong, or sometimes I try to be funny and I'm not, and then I get myself in trouble. And so it's like, well, just because some pastor says it or you hear some teaching doesn't mean that that's the only thing. The other thing is that God's given us a huge privilege of being able to go to Him directly into His Word, and we don't want to create another go-between. We don't want to set up like, okay, the only way I can get to God is I've got to talk to this, whatever this pastor, whatever my favorite teacher is, I got to talk to them and they can give me the answers. It's just not healthy. And so we want to avoid that too. I like to eat. Anybody else like to eat? I like bananas. I saw all the guys raise their hand. I like pie. I like to eat a lot of things. This is one thing I've noticed. It's not really that fun to watch other people eat. I mean, if you don't get to eat with them, right? Do you ever just enjoy it? It's really hard to grow just watching. I'm just going to watch you eat. And wow, you chew really good. And so I feel like I'm growing now. I've got some more energy. It doesn't work that way. And God's word is like that too. Like, we have to actually eat it ourselves. We have to consume it ourselves. Don't eat the paper, but that's a metaphor. And so it's not going to happen by just kind of getting it from other people. Now, other people are helpful. I'm not saying that. So if we're convinced, and maybe you're not, maybe you will be by then tonight because you'll be so wowed at this talk. But if we are convinced that knowing God's word is important, what are some things that stop us? Well, let me give you just a few. Maybe we just don't know how. And so hopefully we're going to address that a little bit tonight. I know David did a great talk last week about spending quiet time with God, and so hopefully you got some tools there of what that looks like. I'm going to talk about some practical steps tonight too. Maybe we think it's important, but we just don't know how to manage our time. And that's honestly like a whole nother topic, a whole nother area to go into. I'm sure Noah will get to that in someday. But if we don't put our time in alignment with our priorities, we're going to spend our time doing a whole bunch of things that really are stupid. And so maybe it's like, yeah, I really think it's important, but I just don't ever quite get there. So you're going to have to work through that. I'm not going to really address that a lot this time, but just know that might be one thing that's stopping us. But the other thing is, maybe we just don't really think it's that important. Like, yeah, when I show up on a Wednesday night nav night, I'm going to say it's important because everyone else around me has a Bible and I should too. But this is a time, honestly, to just do a heart check. Just a reality check. What do I really, like, am I not getting into God's word because maybe I just really don't find it relevant in my life? I say it's important because that's the right Christian answer, but do I really think it's important? So let's get into that a little bit. What do you think your life would look like if God's word was constantly speaking into your life? What would that look like? You can give me some answers for that one. Awesome. What would be awesome about it?
Someone says that like a tree.
Yeah. You think about that in the image of being grounded in a tree from God's word. That you can't get that firmness, that foundation from anything or anyone else. If we try to get that from other people, they're going to fail us. It's only in God's word that's going to get us that kind of thing. So that's good. So I want to share, if you're wondering, he just says none of this is on the handout. That's right. But no, it will be. So I want to share five key thoughts from these verses out of 2 Timothy. I think that they're on there too. 2 Timothy 3, 13 to 17. That's what we're going to look at. Might be familiar to you. I'll just read them all together first, and then we'll look at them. 2 Timothy. Oh, that's cheating. I was going to say it's right after 1 Timothy, if you're looking for it. If that's helpful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then just the last five verses of that chapter, so verses 13 to 17. Let me read it first. It says, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. So, five verses, five concepts. That works out well. The first one from verse 13 is this, beware, beware. Verse 13 says, evil men and imposters are getting from bad to worse. They're deceiving and being deceived. In other words, there are evil men out there. There are imposters, and it's not going to get better. And so that the concept of needing discernment that you talked about is, it's real. I think we need to, every day, to pray to the Lord for discernment. People are deceiving, and people are being deceived. So sometimes, in fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize, yeah, there are points in my life where I've been deceived. Like, I thought I was walking in the truth, but I wasn't. And sometimes we have that sort of aha moment, that wake-up call, where we recognize that. There's just the reality, what I was saying about pastors or speakers or whatever, teachers, it's true of all of us. Sometimes we're human and we just get it wrong. I'm not trying to like talk about evil people. There are people that deceive on purpose, and there's some people that are just misinformed and they just get it wrong. And we have to know that. We have to make sure that we're not deceived. And we have to make sure that we don't get haughty and think we know all the truth. I get really concerned when Christians get in this place where they're like, I know all of this doctrine and everything is exactly right, and the way I know it is right and the way you know it is wrong. Maybe if you agree with me, then you're right. But if we disagree, then obviously you're wrong and I'm right, even though we're both reading the same Bible. It really makes me nervous, the sense of there's lots of deception out there. We're human. We acknowledge that. And that's why we need to stay in God's Word, because wrestle with that and get into it and study it. Compare everything you hear to God's Word. I know we all have our favorite teachers and speakers out there. And it's good. It's good to have those helps. But go first and foremost and always and last to God's Word. So we have to beware. We have to beware of teaching that's out there. The concept of needing discernment is a really key thing. The next verse, in verse 14, the key word there for me is continue. Continue on. And this is a big thing. Continue on in the things that you've learned and been convinced of. So I know that in this group here that there's all sorts of spiritual journeys. Some of you have, came to Christ and you were three and grown up in the church and your parents are amazing, and you're probably missionaries somewhere. And some of you like just came to Christ this year. Maybe some of you don't have even come to Christ yet. But the reality here is to continue on, not just say, yep, I accepted Christ and so I got that. I'm going to heaven. That's good. But what am I doing with that? How am I growing? Continuing on. And so don't stop. Continue to grow. Continue to learn. Maybe it's continuing from yesterday. Maybe it's continuing from decades ago. But it's continue. And the things you've learned to become convinced of. And in this, 1 John 4:16 says this, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Now, the key things are, I've come to know and I have believed. And those aren't necessarily, they're connected, but they're not the same thing. I've come to know and I've believed. And today, this verse says, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of. And then it continues on with, and knowing from whom you've learned them. So this, it goes back to that discernment. Know your source. Where did you learn it from? Where did it come from? And is it in the Word of God? And stick to it in the Word of God. Other resources are great. Teaching webinars. I've been a part of some terrific teaching. Our church did a training about a year or so ago with My Hope with Billy Graham. There's some great resources out there. Navigators has a ton of resources. It's really good stuff. But just those are all just tools. It's got to go to the source, and you got to know the source. So continue on and know the source. So before I jump to the next verse, the question that makes me ask is, how can we know the source? And I think David probably touched on some of this last week. But when we're talking about knowing God's word, and we want to know God's word because I think that's a mark of being a follower of Jesus. I think there's some real key things, and this is one of them. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, we want to know what Jesus said, and we want to live the way Jesus told us to live, well, we're going to find that out in his word. So that's got to be part of it. And so how can we know his word better? That's part of it. This actually came from Navigator's Resource, so you might be familiar with it, but it's worth remembering. Have you seen the hand diagram of God's word? Okay, so good. So you can tell me the answers. So that little pinky is what? Yeah, here. Want to hear God's word. Usually that goes with Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So you're hearing God's word today, hearing hopefully good teaching. I pray that it's good. But whether it's here or elsewhere, you hear the word of God, it's a good thing. But did you know that you only retain 10% of what you hear? So that means if I talk for 20 minutes, you'll remember the 2 minutes, probably the 2 minutes when you ask me questions about my life, you know, whatever. It's not really encouraging for a teacher, but it's still better than nothing, right? Hearing is still good. Now, there are some great ways to increase hearing, and I'll just say 100%. Maybe 98% of you doing, and that's like, you know, writing notes, engaging, keeping track of things. It's like active listening. So notes is a real good way to do that, but there's other ways, and that will help you retain more. Plus, you can go back and look at it later too. So that's the first one. What's the next finger? Reading. Yep. So reading God's word. I've heard the stat. I don't know where it came from, but we retain about 25% of what we read. Obviously, it depends. Some of us are better readers than others. But the thing I'd say about reading and reading God's word is to do it systematically, not just sort of the Jeremiah 7. Let's see what this was in here. That can be dangerous to do that. So, you know, there's a ton of Bible reading plans out there, and to follow through, they're chronological or Old Testament just put together. But you... like, there's so much richness in God's word, but it starts literally with just familiarity. Like, you just have to know, okay, where do I turn for this? Where do I look for this? And so that's the thing I'd recommend for that. The next finger is study. Yes, you win the prize. I'd give you one of those wrist things, but they're all gone. Study. I love in Acts 17:11 talks about the Bereans, great models for us. It says the Bereans were more noble minded than those in Thessalonica, which is where you were reading Paul wrote the letter to Thessalonians. But the Bereans received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Great example. Like, they heard teaching and then said, let's look at scriptures and see what this says, and to do that. And there's great study tools for that and ways to do that. But also, I know that there's some phenomenal Bible studies that are offered, and to take part in that, because it's really helpful to study God's word with other people and to get other people's insights and to glean from that. So we're talking about getting engaged in God's word and ways to do that. So we've covered three fingers. The next finger is memorize. Yep. Psalm 119 is a great verse, verses 9-11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I've treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And there's some great scripture to memorize. We'll let you think about that. What is the Lord asking you to memorize? Let me say one thing about memorization. Sometimes people say, you know what, I just have a bad memory. I'm just not good at memorizing. But here's the reality, and that's not true about just memorizing. This is just a little tidbit for you. Everything is hard until you put effort into it. In fact, the things you put effort into sometimes are the most rewarding. So don't let I don't care what kind of memory God's given you. That if you, it's just like any other brain. If you exercise it more, it gets easier. Who is the walking coordinator? Yeah. So talk to the walking coordinator. Anytime when you walk more, you build up your muscles and walking gets easier. And it's the same with running. Any runners here? Okay, a few runners. When you start running, it's like feels miserable. It's the worst thing in the world. But then your muscles get stronger, your lungs get stronger, and you can start to do more. It's the exact same with memory. So you memorize it first verse, and you're like, oh, that was miserable, it's painful. But then your brain kicks in. My 12-year-old daughter just amazes me how quick, well, she memorizes things. But praise God, she started memorizing scripture young, like 6 or 7. And so her memory muscle is strong. And not just, it's actually helpful for your studies, too. You know, when she's doing stuff for schoolwork, it's pretty cool. So memorizing, there was some bonus material in there. And then the thumb is meditate. Actually, Anthony read that from Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water to yield its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So for me, when I think about meditation, usually the biggest thing for me is just slow down when you're reading. There's a difference between reading and studying and meditating. And the big thing for it is just slow down. Give yourself some time. I think I was talking with Jake about God's just built need for us to have a lot of rest in our lives. Every week, every night, or morning, depending what time you go to bed. But there's that need for rest. And that God, in a sense, is every day is reminding us, you need to slow down. Slow down. Think about what's going on. And I just, every time I talk about meditation, I always have to just sort of highlight the difference between a Christian meditation and Eastern meditation, because there's a ton of Eastern meditation out there, and they're very, very different. And so Eastern meditation, the whole goal is to sort of empty yourself, to not think of anything. But Christian meditation is actually the exact opposite. It's to fill yourself with God. It's to focus on God and to meditate on Him. You're filling yourself with His truth and His word. And so just have to be careful when the word meditation is used. It can mean literally opposite things. And there's a phrase that my wife and I use a lot is define your terms. We find ourselves arguing a lot about things. We realize we're talking about two very different things using the same word. Just another. I'm throwing all sorts of free information in here. So there's that. Okay, so that now we get to, so that's that's always in continuing on, okay? Because obviously continuing on is a long thing. I came to Christ when I was in 8th grade. I told you in 4th grade I memorized my first scripture. I'm older now, and I am still finding myself continuing on. The Lord is challenging me and pushing me. There's not a sense of like, Christianity is not a checkoff list. Like, okay, I memorized so many scriptures, or I made it through all this so many Bible studies, or I've discipled so many X number of people, and so now I'm good. It's continuing on. And that will be until we get to heaven. So now let's move on. Verse 15 then, the key, I don't know if it's word or phrase there, is to focus on wisdom that leads to salvation. Here the verse says, from childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there's all sorts of wisdom out there. You are studying some great things in college. It's great things to know, great wisdom. But in the midst of that, let's make sure that when we're focusing on wisdom, that leads to salvation. And not forgetting that, because that is the number one most important thing. And so this is where I want to show a video. Can I do that now? There's a tribe that had God's word delivered to them. They'd never had it before. And this little video just kind of shows their excitement of being able to receive God's word. Yeah, we can do it.
Po dara na yung iyuda ay nagigit memero. Dara memero ko. Po yung nama nuni ginanti amulagan siya wala na. Memero ko tuwe na ako kemila ma. Doon ni ano si ano yung lemla ba nung dati ano yung ma. Po memero ko niya amulagan siya wala na. Oi nung dati kaya sa po. Sa ni lima po. Siyung ni niya wala na nuni unisin. Matiyut sampe wahyu. Gigit na ka wala na. Wala yosin na. Ya, ingin
alam yung tiblam nun ako ha. Naya kumbo ko na yung masaraga. Ano yung umako ni Sina. Ni Sina yung sa Ngingula Mukti. Naman Ngingula mo yung. Nari yung nagigip lawa piyo pati yung lama abar sa nga na. Kala yung lang naman yung nagigip kasarap kasimbing kayo.
Ano yung mayroon yung nakit na ang kapsiwa? Yung nangyayon, yung nangyayon kita pa bawati. Ang gusto ka nang hindi ay ko, ito mayroon di yung garap na nisin na nang hindi ay pagod na ngayon ka nang ito. Sa ang team member yung nangyayon, mayroon yung bayas yung nangyayon, na ako. Sige,
Hindi mo ba ako mabawi?
Watch that video, I just wonder, you know, how lightly do I take God's word? I think we're just so spoiled in our language. I mean, we fight over which translation we want to use because we have, like, that new one comes out every year. And these guys, just that the joy of receiving God's word. They focused on the wisdom that led to salvation. The process to get that word took years and countless labors by translators. And you see the joy of that. That's the kind of joy that I want to be in my heart. And I think we can see that. We focus on that wisdom that leads to salvation. That's the third one. Fourth one then, from verse 16. Verse 16, in fact, is one of those popular memory verses, but is let God's word work in your life. Let God's word work in your life. And it talks about teaching and reproof and correction and training and righteousness. And I think there's just some good questions, kind of heart questions you can ask yourself in the midst of this. Because when we read God's word, we read it so that it can transform us. We don't read it to kind of judge whether or not we like it or not. But the goal is to let it work in our lives. And these are some great model. You think about teaching. Say, Lord, what do you want to teach me? It's a great thing to ask before you open your Bible. Lord, what do you want to teach me? The next question we don't like so much, reproof. Lord, what do you want to reprove in my life? Where do you see wrong that you want to point out to me? Really good question to ask. I think we skip that one a lot, but a really good question to ask. The third one then is correction, because this is what the Lord does. He doesn't just say, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you're doing wrong. He says, this is what you're doing wrong. Now here's what I want you to do. Here's the correction. So Lord, after you've shown me my errors, how do you want me to correct them? What's the correction you have for me? There is no better teacher, by the way, than the Lord himself. Just ask him. And he's given us his word for these things. It says all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And that last part, the training in righteousness, it goes back to that ongoing concept again. Training is an ongoing thing. You might have one event. You might have one big thing. Think of Olympic athletes. You know, they spend 4 years training for one moment. A training is something that continues to happen. It's discipline. It's a lifestyle. It's not the show and the glamour. And so the next question then after asking the Lord about teaching, reproof, and correction is saying, Lord, okay, you've shown me my errors. You've shown me how to correct them. Now show me how to continue to walk in that path in a disciplined, ongoing way. That's the training in righteousness. And what's the end result? The end result, this is a really key thing, because sometimes we almost worship the Word of God. The Word of God is meant to point us to the living Word, Jesus Christ, to the living God himself. And so sometimes we'd be like, hey, I've memorized 14 verses. How many have you memorized? Or, you know, I've memorized a whole book of the Bible. Have you done that? Or we start to say, you know, I can quote all sorts of Bible verses, and I can tell you where they are, and make me look really impressive. But that is not the goal of knowing God's Word. The goal is this, and that's the last point from verse 17. It's so that the man of God and the woman of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. God wants to equip us, and adequate here means this, that we're fitted, that we're complete, that we're perfect with a, I like this, with a special aptitude for given uses. See, God's designed that all of us differently, and he's given us different uses, but we can all get trained through the same source, through the Word of God, so that we're adequate and then equipped. Equipped. We have what we need. We have the tools we need. We're furnished completely for the work that God has for us. And so that's the end result. That's the goal. If you look through those things, the end result is that we're equipped for every good work. That's why we want to know God's Word, not to impress people or to just, you know, think it's a great book, but because it points us to the living and the true God. So that's what I have for you. Now we have discussion questions, right? So you want to direct that?
Before we do that, can you go over the questions to ask God before we study? There's like four of them you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From verse 16. Yeah. Let me see it. Let me see how I wrote it.
First one was like, what do you want me to learn in the study?
Yep.
That was all I got.
Yep. Teaching. Lord, what do you want to teach me? First one. And then under reproof. Lord, what do you want to reprove in my life? Or... in other words, tell me what's going on. Don't skip over that. What do you want to reprove in my life? The third one is this. Lord, after you've shown me my errors, how do you want me to correct them? Because being shown the errors is just part of it. He also corrects. That's what a good teacher does. They don't just say that's wrong. They say that's wrong, and here's how you do it right. That's the correction. So, Lord, how do you want me to correct them? And then the fourth one, let me summarize that. Show me how to continue to walk in a path, in a disciplined, ongoing way. That's a lot of words. Keep on going. Just remember the concept of training. It's a lifestyle. It's not an event. That's probably the key thing there. Good. Thanks for asking. Do you want to break us into groups or something?
Yeah, we'll take about 10 minutes. Thanks a lot. And we'll groups of...